Hi, everyone. This is Laurie Handlers, and you are now tuned in to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. And I'm so glad to be back on the air here on bbsradio.com. So I just want to start out by saying Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti to everyone. That means peace, peace, peace. I'm glad to greet you. And this is my second show on BBS Radio, and it's really exciting for me to be back on the air. So let me just tell you a little bit about who I am. I'm a Tantra teacher. I reside in the state of New York, pretty much in New York City, and I teach Tantra up and down the East Coast of the United States, a little bit on the West Coast. I teach it in London and some in India, so that's kind of my circuit. And I've had a lot of experiences with Tantra in my teaching days of a bit over 10 years now, and I'd like to share that with you in my show, Tantra Cafe. Let me tell you a little bit about Tantra Cafe. It's like a cafe. It's like a restaurant. So it always, each week starts with an appetizer, something that demystifies Tantra. And then I offer you an entree or main course, and that's usually my guest. And tonight I have a very exciting guest for you all. And then after that, in between courses of the entree, I always like to share with you some of the music, the tantric music that I use in my workshops. So we always have a music segment, and then we come back to the main course. And finally, at the end, I give you something called Tantra Takeout, which is a tip or a meditation or something that you can take and use in your lives. Sometimes I offer Tantra Dessert, and that's usually when I have a couple on that I'm interviewing, and they give you one of their secrets for their Tantra practice. So that's how the show pretty much goes. And tonight, I don't want to make an exception, so this is the appetizer, something to demystify Tantra. A lot of people have heard that Tantra has different aspects. They've heard of white Tantra, and they've heard of red Tantra, and some people have even heard of black Tantra. So I want to just tell you a little bit about what that is. White Tantra is a set of practices that you do alone. You do them for yourself. And tonight we're going to talk about white Tantra practices, because the theme of tonight's show is longing for Osho, and I'll just get to that with you in a moment. So white Tantra means practices that you practice by yourself. You go on an inner journey and you find out who you are in an intimate way, and you connect your dots. You connect your body, mind, and spirit through practicing white Tantra. Red Tantra is a set of practices that you practice with a partner. Some of the red tantric practices are sex practices, but not all of them. Some of them are breathing practices. Some of them are sitting in a posture known as yab-yam, where the woman sits in the man's lap, and they breathe together, and they put their foreheads together and touch their third eye. It's known as the tantric kiss. So red Tantra is really made up of a set of practices that you do together with someone. Black Tantra is when you cast a spell. You use your vital life force or your sexual energy, build a charge in your body, and then set out to cast a spell. So, and some people have some issue with practicing Black Tantra. I would say that my brand, that I practice at my business called Butterfly Workshops, which you can find out about butterflyworkshops.com. The things I teach or my practices are pink. They're a combination of white and red. And gray, they're a combination of white and black. And what I mean by that is my practices are toned down a little bit in the sex practice area, but they also are partner practices combined with solo practices. So it's kind of pink. It's not like full-on sexuality, red Tantra. And when I say gray, the set of practices that I teach, I do teach people through setting intention. So I don't really coach people to cast spells, but I do teach people how to use their intentions, set their intention, and then use their breath practices combined with their own sexual energy to have their intentions, the things that they set out to want in their life, show up. And that's part of the demystification for Tantra this evening, just distinguishing between the different colors of Tantra that people may or may not have heard about, people who are listening to the show this evening. So this evening, the introduction, you know, who I want to introduce, I mean, as the entree or the main course, is somebody that I know and love, and his name is Om. His name is Om Rupani. And let me explain to you a little bit about who he is and how we met. He is an artist, actually a photographer in the New York area. We met when Om came to take his first Tantra class called Bliss. He came to me. I was teaching at a place called the Meta Center in New York. And now, not only are we friends, but Om has taken all my courses. He's somebody that I go to for advice and guidance from time to time. He's somebody that I hang out with and I value in my life. We've been to India together, although we won't discuss that this evening. And you can check him out on his website, which is omrupani.com, omrupani.com. I want to also mention one other thing, which is that he's a newly appointed director at One Taste in New York, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the interview. So first, I just want to say hi. Hi, Om.
Hi, Laurie.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be on the show with you.
Very good. Very, very good. I'm so glad that you're on. We've been waiting a long time to have this show called Longing for O Show. We've talked about it for about a year, yeah?
Yes, we have. I think it's one of our connecting points. I think we're both big fans and devotees of this extraordinary man.
Yeah. So let me say a little bit about him for a moment, and then I'm going to ask you just a little bit of background stuff, like how'd you get into Tantra, like what motivated you. But let me just say who Osho is so people have a context for this show. So when I say longing for Osho, some people they're not even sure what they're hearing. Osho, what is that? It sounds like the ocean. And that's exactly why he took the name Osho, so it would sound like the ocean. He was a very famous and actually notorious Tantra teacher who became very popular in the 70s, known as Bhagwan or Bhagwan Rajneesh. And he picked up a lot of thousands and thousands of followers. They were known as the people in orange, and he was known as the man with the 90 Rolls Royces, and everything he did was infamous, notorious. He received lots of bad press and notoriety in papers all around the world. And basically, he was an amazing Tantra master who questioned every kind of authority and every rule that there was. And quite honestly, I wasn't ready for him in the 70s. I thought it was all too weird. But now it's the millennium and then some, and I find that that's the only author that I want to read. And Om Rupani is my guest tonight because he's kind of the same way. We both have extensive libraries, but we have more Osho books than probably anything else on our shelves. So, Om, just before we go right into the Bhagwan, or as he's known after his death, Osho, just tell us a little bit about how you got into Tantra, because that's how you and I know each other.
Well, I started looking for Tantra classes in New York City about 2 years ago. As you know, I have been with my lovely girlfriend for quite some time. We just celebrated our 19th anniversary this February.
That's amazing. Go ahead. Congratulations.
We've been through everything together. We met sophomore year in college. We've moved to 5 cities together. You can imagine in all those years. And the seeking of courses like yours, this search for Tantra and other things, were basically motivated to spice up our sex life, really, to add a few things, to clear out a few things, to find new methods where we can connect better after all the years. Any two lovers, I think, after so many years, things accumulate between them and they need help in clearing things so they can reach the next level. and searching for classes like yours was basically a desire in that direction.
Well, I'm so glad.
And we found it.
I'm so glad that you found me, and I'm so glad that I found you, because the two of you are, you know, important people in my life. So how do you think, you know, now it's, in terms of my work, and my work's not the only work you've done, you've been through a number of, you know, you've been through all my courses, including my leadership course, which isn't really Tantra, and you've been through some other teachers' courses, and you've been through One Taste, which we'll discuss in a little while. So how has all of this affected your love life?
Well, this answer may sound glib, but it's actually quite true. I think the best indicator is the fights are a lot shorter. And that has many implications. And the implications are that we have reached a higher level of clarity within ourselves. We are able to communicate a lot faster. We are both headstrong, passionate people. You know, for those into astrology, we are both Tauruses. So you can imagine what that is like. 19 years of two Tauruses living together. We are both stubborn, we are both headstrong, and we both have high tempers. So receiving an education, receiving a training, receiving openings in classes such as yours and to other work that allows us to see each other more clearly and just engage as fully as we engage, but also arrive at clarity more quickly. It just helps everything, including the sex.
That's fantastic. I can just see you two. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's the stuff that gets in the way that, of course, keeps you from, you know, keeps you from your friendship, and it keeps you from better sex.
Yeah.
So the faster you can
clean
that up, the faster you can see it clearly, the faster you can get to the good stuff.
Beautiful. I can actually see you too, you know, making your hooves, you know, dig in, and then, you know, your horns, the horns of the bull, you know, coming towards each other with no matador in sight.
that describes quite a few evenings, Yeah.
So that's wonderful. So it's affected you in a way that makes the fights or the disagreements shorter, and probably there's less of them too. There might be
less of them, and and that just leaves the room open for everything else, including better sex, really.
That's fabulous. And then, is there a way that it's affected you individually, like you know, just in terms of the rest of, you know, aside from the relationship aspect of your life, what about your art or you know, like the way you process things? Anything there?
I think the biggest shift I can see in myself in the past year through all this work is there is a settling down into the body. There is an awareness, more of a moment-to-moment awareness of the body and everything that is happening in it, including the emotions. I can become a very heady guy very quickly. I can go in my head and become very intellectual and get lost in my thoughts and ideas very easily. But the work I've done with you and with some other teachers has really kind of brought home the message that whatever reality is out there, even if it's in the invisible realm, the connection to it is through my body.
I couldn't have said it better myself if I tried. Thank you. That's a tremendous testament to the practice of Tantra in this modern age. One other thing that I notice about you, if you don't mind my saying, that's you used to work alone and be pretty solitary. Not like you weren't social. You were social, but you used to work in almost solitary confinement in your studio in the apartment in New York, and now you are a leader and you're around people and social, you know, half the time.
Most of the time, I think. I know. Yeah, that is a realization, something that has come my way, and I think it's somewhat irreversible. I can see that there's actually no going back from it. You're right. I am a photographer. Photographers tend to spend a lot of time alone. I love to write and read and do other creative things, and those creative endeavors can be very solitary. And I've kind of never allowed myself the luxury of community.
Yes.
I've always thought, you know, find yourself one or two select friends, be very picky, and those will be the people you reach out to. But now working with One Taste, and even coming into the Tantra community, taking classes, finding other people who are on the same path, the sense of community has really, it's been tremendous, just to find people and to, we can feed each other, and we need each other.
Yes.
And I realize that now much more clearly than I did before.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I just want to let the listeners know that they're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and you're listening to bbsradio.com. And my guest tonight is Om Rupani. And Om is a photographer extraordinaire. He's a person that found Tantra about two and a half years ago, and has allowed it to actually infiltrate his life and shift not only his love relationship, but his relationship to community, his relationship to his tastes, his self-expression, all kinds of things, things he's just been sharing with us. Let's see. My next question for you really is, how did this all lead you to Osho? Did you find Osho before Tantra, or did you find Osho after Tantra?
Well, as you know, I was born in India. I was born in Bombay. I grew up there. I left when I was 13 years old in 1983. I'm 38 now. Even when I was a kid there, Osho, who at the time was called Rajneesh, and who had his ashram in Pune even then, had become quite notorious in India. So as a gossip item, even then I knew of him. He was known as a sex guru, as a love guru, so I always pretty much knew of him. And I think only even, it was shortly after I actually came to this country. I was quite young, maybe when I was 15 years old. I just happened to stumble upon a lecture of his. And this was the first time I basically heard him. And even at that age, the voice that came through and the message that came through was so much, I mean, it compared to the gossip, it was just, it struck me even then. I think I still have that very tape, the first tape I heard.
Wow.
As you know, he has many, many tapes of his lectures, and this was one, this was a recording in Hindi, in Pune. And I remember hearing him speak, and I'm thinking, this is not the man in the gossip columns. And since then, it's kind of been a slow journey. It's been simply seeing, oh, this is interesting. Let me listen to another tape. Let me get another book. And over the years, he's just grown on me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, up to the point, as you say, have a very long shelf of his books at this point.
Me too. And I,
yeah.
Some of mine are still wrapped. I have so many I can't even, you know, I can't even get to them fast enough. It's funny you say, because in the 70s, my father was into Osho. I don't know how my father found out about him, but he found out about him. And you know my father, so you know he's a little kooky.
Yeah.
And he was into Osho, and he introduced his, my father's a dentist, and so he introduced his receptionist in his dental office in Brooklyn. He introduced her to Osho, and she left. She was a Swiss woman. She left the U.S., went to Pune, India, and never came back. She just moved there, became a full-time sannyasin. Sannyasin means a devotee. For those listeners out there who's not sure what I'm saying when I say sannyasins, they take sannyas, which is an oath to be free, in the case of Osho, to be free, to march only to your own drummer, to your own inner guidance, and then they become known as sannyasins. And in those days, they wore orange. These days, they wear red, but they don't wear it all the time like they used to. Anyway, she went away, left for Pune. My father wanted to go, and my mother said, I'll kill you if you go there. You're not leaving me to go to that crazy place. Because she was as scared as everyone, like what you're saying, you know, the sex guru.
Right.
But my father used to have tapes around the house, and I thought, this is the weirdest thing. And now I've grown into it. Unfortunately, he's not alive anymore. You know,
right.
So I can't see him directly. And you haven't seen him in your life, have you?
No, I never got a chance to see him. I was still in high school when his scandals in Oregon broke.
Yeah.
So I was kind of missed him by a few years.
So thus we are longing for Osho, you and I.
Thus we are. That's true. Yeah.
It's like, okay. Now
yeah.
What? So we get the transmission however we can. There are over 600 books in print that
right.
Osho has written. They say, the last time I checked, they say that he's the most prolific author that to ever, you know, there are more books by Osho than any other author.
Right. I can imagine.
And I believe...
I mean, considering, yeah.
What?
Considering all his chapters in his books are pretty much transcriptions of his talks, and I think he gave 2 talks every day. One in
yeah.
the morning, one in the evening. So that
right.
that in itself can add up.
Yeah,
yes.
It's amazing. It's amazing how they've transcribed them and they put it all together and... And they're brilliant. They're absolutely
yeah.
brilliant. So it's this is good. It's amazing. Let me let's just see. You know, I'm just trying to think of like really how did Tantra lead me to Osho? You know, you heard something when you were a boy and it
right.
connected with you, and now that you're a tantric, which you
right.
are, it resonates with you, and, you know, now you're reading the books and everything. For me, like, I guess most of the world's Tantra teachers, with a few exceptions, have somehow been influenced by Osho. You know, like, my Tantra teacher is Bodhi Avinasha, and she was influenced by Osho. Margot Anand lived
right.
in the ashram
yeah.
for a while.
I believe Barbara Corrales, who is an amazing woman and a teacher and based in New Yorker, I'm pretty sure she is an Osho fan. I think she might have been in Pune at some point.
Yeah, it's really... Now,
yeah.
I've been in Pune since he's no longer in the body on the planet. I've been
right.
in Pune, and I'll tell a little bit about that, you know,
right.
in a little later part. So
I've heard secondhand, this is not confirmed, that Paul Lowe was with Osho for a while.
Yeah, yeah, Paul Lowe. And also, what's his name? Bernie Pryor.
Bernie Pryor, yeah.
He
yeah.
too was with Osho. So a lot of the
right.
world's tantrics, major tantra teachers, have been influenced, and actually some of them have spent a lot of time with
yes.
Osho in the ashram. Well, here's what I'm going to do now. I have a little treat for us. I have some music that I got when I was at the ashram, and it actually has Osho speaking in it. It's like a disco tune. They took something that he was, you know, he's telling people to celebrate, which is basically what his message was. Celebrate life. Be chaotic. Go, you know, just help celebrate. Go out of control. So he actually says that in this music. So we're going to have a piece of Osho music now for you know, about a minute and a half's worth, and hear his message, and then we'll be back.
Remember one thing, that each of my sannyasis carries something of me. Each of my sannyasis becomes a part of me, spiritually, physically, in every possible way. My sannyasins are not believers. My sannyasins are in a love affair. It is a mad phenomenon. So wherever my sannyasins meet, my presence will be felt. Wherever my sannyasins will celebrate, my message is realized, because celebration is my message.
You're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment, and I'm Laurie Handler as your host. Welcome back. We're on bbsradio.com, and I am here with my guest, Om Rupani, and the theme for our show tonight is Longing for Osho, and Om and I are in a lively discussion about how we've been influenced by Osho, who was a great, great Tantra master who unfortunately left the planet in 1990, and neither Om nor I got to meet him, but we keep meeting up with him now. We read everything we can find by him. I go to his ashram in Pune as often as I can and dance. And you just heard a piece of music called All My Sannyasins, and you heard Osho speaking on that. And you heard the message. If you were listening closely, he said, All My Sannyasins, as long as they're dancing and celebrating, then they're with me. They're in my presence. What he encouraged people to do was give up their suppression and their repression and just dance, celebrate and dance through life. Later on in that piece of music, he says, dance such that only the dance is left and the dancer is no more. Like, lose yourself so totally into the dance that you can't distinguish you, where you start and end, and where the dance is. There's no dancer, there's only the dance. So we're back, Om and I are back, and Om, you know, why do you think his work has lasted, or this could be a dual question, like, why do you think his work has lasted, and what do you get when you read it, you know, that inspires you?
I think the quote you gave kind of gives a hint of that, which is, he was so life-affirming. I've never encountered a religious tradition that so much emphasizes life as it is here. Religion always seems to be about finding a heaven elsewhere, and he over and over and over said, find it here. Find it here, find it in the body, find it in all aspects of the body. Celebrate here, you know, and that message itself, and you know, I'm born in India. If you're born in India, you're born in religion. You
right.
grow up in religion. It doesn't even matter which tradition. And as beautiful as all those traditions are, they can get kind of oppressive. They can get to the point where you always feel that heaven is elsewhere, that this life is merely a means, and there is nothing but suffering here. So to hear him say that this is it, find it here, make it here, it was at once so affirming and at once the challenge that make your life, find it here. That always resonates with me. And maybe that is the message for our time, But that message of finding heaven elsewhere and using this life as a means doesn't help anymore. And it has created a lot of misery.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing that, you know, Osho was saying that. And that's really what you just said you got out of it is so the message of Tantra. You know, like Tantra is really about allowing heaven to be in our bodies on earth now.
Right.
And that really is the message. You know, that song that I use a lot in my courses, I haven't played it yet on the show, but the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, it just means, I actually did. I played it last week. What am I talking about? I played it last week, the Sophia version of it. That means, you know, above as below. Heaven on earth, heaven, heaven on earth. And that's really, really the message of Tantra, so I guess Osho was pretty crystal clear about it.
In the sense that you are at home already. Home is not elsewhere. You have this life and this world and this earth and this body is not a banishment of any sort. It is a blessing. And to hear him say that the way he says it, it just brings it, it really brings it home.
Well, you know, I want to, I just want to follow that by sharing my favorite Osho quote. And, you know, as I shared with you, I used to have this on all the flyers about my work. Everything that Butterfly Workshops, every time we were doing a seminar or an introduction to Tantra or anything, this quote accompanied the flyer and used to also be on my website until somebody who, of course, you know, had a negative experience with the Bhagwan, wrote me, you know, some scathing emails, you know, and said you should take this off your website. But anyway, I love this quote, and I want to share it with you, and it's emblazoned on my heart, so it doesn't matter if it's not on my website anymore. and this is it. It's from Tantra, Spirituality, and Sex by Osho, and here's the quote. Become loving. When you are in the embrace, become the embrace. Become the kiss. Forget yourself so totally that you can say, I am no more, only love exists. Then the heart is not beating, but love is beating. Then the blood is not circulating, but love is circulating. Then eyes are not seeing, love is seeing. Then hands are not moving to touch, love is moving to touch. Become love and enter everlasting life. Love suddenly changes your dimension. You're thrown out of time and you are facing eternity. Love can become a deep meditation, the deepest possible. Lovers have known sometimes what saints have not known. That to me says it all.
Yeah, I love that last part. That once again is quintessentially how he hits me, that lovers have known what saints have not known. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So that, again, that's a quote from Osho, probably greatest Tantra master of the 20th century, and that was from the book Tantra, Spirituality, and Sex. And the guy got a lot of good rap, he got a lot of bad rap, and for one thing, he was certainly notorious. But I happen to think that he's more... I don't want to say martyred, but I think he's even in some ways more popular now and certainly more in the mainstream than ever before. I mean, because there's so much Tantra going on now in the States and abroad that people are actually finding their way to Osho who would have never, you know, people like me who would have never found their way in the 70s. It just was, it was too, like, weird. You know, it was too off-center, so...
Yeah, we're always having Osho meditations. People are offering his dynamic meditations, even in New York City, offering series. So word of his work is always about.
Yeah, we're actually tonight in my Tantra Takeout, I'm going to offer. We're not going to actually do it because it would take too long, but I'm going to give people a way to do one of the Osho meditations on their own.
Right.
Yeah.
And I see his techniques being incorporated by so many other teachers. You know,
as they should be.
His gibberish meditation, his chaotic meditations, his dynamic meditations. I see other breath workers, other Tantra teachers incorporating pieces of it, which is wonderful to see the way he would have wanted it.
It really is. That's what I mean by it's becoming mainstream. It's so, and it's really beyond psychology, which, by the way, is the title of one of his books.
Right. And he was very much for, you know, creating all these techniques and giving them out to people. He would say that quite often, that I keep generating techniques for the modern time and take it, use them, use whatever applies. He has an entire book of meditations, which has like over 100 meditations, and he emphasizes it doesn't really matter which technique. Try them out for a little bit, see what resonates, and stick with it. And that so many techniques have been created because humanity is constantly changing, personalities are changing, we are changing, and different techniques are needed to resonate with different people at different times. So.
Well, you know, the other thing is that you bring up something really important here, because a lot of Osho believed that Westerners could not sit still and meditate quietly.
Right.
And like sit in lotus position with your hands in some kind of hand position, like called a mudra. He didn't believe that Westerners could calm down like that, that they could like actually get to a place where the mind rested. So the reason he created all these meditations that you're mentioning in this book of meditations, he created them specifically for people like us. Western mind, people with, like I always refer to myself as someone who has a New York state of mind. Like, he created them to be chaotic and movement-oriented and noisy so that there would be a period of time where people would make noise, and then if they went into full self-expression, the mind would cooperate in the silence and be quiet. So all his meditations have a segment where you're either running or you're dancing or you're jumping, and then you make sound, like let's say you're jumping for 15 minutes, and then for 15 minutes you make sound, and then for 15 minutes you're silent. And then the last 15 minutes of the hour, you actually like roll around, or you'd get up and you'd dance gently or something. But he really believed that in order to silence the Western mind and give it a rest, the only way to do it was to wear it out.
And yeah, very much so. And he would say, I mean, the goal, if you can call it a goal, that meditation, what meditation is always the same. It is simply awareness in the present moment. But how to get to that, how to get to that and address the noise of the mind, and the techniques are more to address the noise of the mind, and beyond that all you get is presence, hopefully. So I mean, some of his meditations are very zen-like, which is, you know, you can have a slow walking meditation, you can meditate during washing your hands as long as you're present. He even had a smoking meditation, which I find hilarious. it's not very politically correct, but it's actually in his book. I'm sure cigar lovers probably understand that. That as long as you're present in your body, simply in the sensations, you are in meditation.
Wow. Wow. It's awesome. That's really awesome. I mean, just to think of that, being present.
Yeah, and that translates in a way into, for me, it seems to translate seamlessly into Tantra, or as far as Tantra refers to sex, that it's tantric sex is nothing more than sex while you're completely present.
Yep.
Yep.
Completely present.
Yeah, he would joke that usually there are too many people in the bedroom. He says there are at least four people in the bed. That the woman is thinking of some Hollywood movie star, and the guy is thinking of some centerfold, and nobody's quite there.
That's funny. I usually look at it like the woman and her parents are in the bed.
You can certainly go in that direction as well. There's just way too many people in the bed. There are never only two people. So if you can really reduce the number down to two lovers who are just with each other.
And then in Tantra, they become one in the union.
Yes.
Well, this is great. This is great. So in case you just joined us, I'm with my guest, Om Rupani. This is Tantra Cafe, and I'm Laurie Handler, your host. And you can find out more about me at butterflyworkshops.com. You can access my website to find out when I'm doing workshops in your area. And you can find out more about Om Rupani at omrupani.com. That's omrupani.com. And how you can find out more about Osho, both about ordering books or seeing, there's a lot of Osho on YouTube, by the way. There's a lot of clips of Osho. One of the funniest ones you should go to is about a little monologue he gave about God being dead and what happens after that. It's actually starts from a Nietzsche quote, "If God is dead, then," and then it goes on, and it's very, very funny. But you can also go to OshoInternational.com, and you can find Osho books, and as I said before, there are over 600 of them. You can find out about the resort, which the ashram in Pune has now become an international resort. It's not quite an ashram like what people picture. It's not, it isn't like people being silent or just meditating all day long. You are meditating, but there's dancing and there's tennis. They call it Zenith. And there's swimming and there's a disco and mostly it's dancing and celebrating all the time. And then there's a meditation every other hour on the hour. And they're amazing, amazing meditations. It's a very exciting place to go. So you can find that at OshoInternational.com for those of you who'd like to find out more about it. Where we are now is I just want to ask you briefly where you are now and just to tell us a quick, you know, the quick and dirty on One Taste, and then I want to move into making some announcements and giving people a Tantra takeout, and then we'll do another show on One Taste when that time is right. So just tell people what One Taste is, and Om is now the director of One Taste in New York City, which is an urban retreat center. So tell us just a minute.
One Taste is a residential community. It is also a place where we offer great classes in connected living and kind of finding the tools, the means where we can see each other more clearly. We say one of the most basic needs human beings have is to see and be seen. And that can carry over in all areas, you know, including from friendship to sex. And we offer classes in different areas, including the mind, the body. We kind of have a module of 6 courses that address different areas of life, the mind, the body, community, spirituality. And we also have a residential community where people go into things more deeply. It's kind of a full immersion program for people who want that. It was started in San Francisco. The founder is Nicole Dedone. And we've been in New York for about a year. So.
And in San Francisco for about 3 or 4, yeah?
Yes. You can find out more about it at onetaste.us.
Great. Very great. And for people...
You can check out our calendar. Come take our classes.
And for people listening and who are interested in my classes, I also teach at One Taste. I teach at One Taste in... I teach my Tantra classes at the One Taste facility in New York, and sometimes I teach at the One Taste facility in San Francisco.
Right.
So that was
One Taste really wants. Yeah, One Taste really aspires to kind of be a community of communities. So we have space in New York and San Francisco where other teachers can come and teach, as they do regularly, which is wonderful to have. So we have our kind of own classes, but we also encourage other teachers in this area to come hold their classes. Bring everybody in. I think the desire to create a community is really at the center of it. That
yeah.
We need each other for this work, and it's great to have a place where people can come together and do this together.
And I spend a lot of time there in New York.
Yes, you do.
And I'm a resident sometimes. I'm a visiting dignitary. That's what I like to call myself. And that's how I'm treated. It's just, it's really, really amazing. So let me, we've covered a lot of turf. Let me tell people a little bit about how they can find out more about my classes. Just so you know, on June 29th in New York City, I'll be doing my Bliss Beginners Tantra Intensive. And I'll be doing that at One Taste, which is in Little Italy, for the New Yorkers listening. And, of course, you can find out more about my work at butterflyworkshops.com. And I'll be doing on July 27th, I'll be doing the same course, Bliss Beginner's Tantra. It's a one-day course, one-day intensive, in Minneapolis for the first time. I'm invited to Minneapolis, Minnesota. And, you know, and then later on in the fall, I'll be doing classes in Philadelphia and in upstate New York and so on. So you can definitely find out more, also in Florida. You can find out more by visiting my website. One thing I want to also say, if any of the listeners would like to go to India, I have an India tour coming up in November, on November 19th to December 2nd. And if that's something that you're interested in, you do need to email me and get in touch with me as soon as possible. That's Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, at butterflyworkshops.com. You've been listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Laurie Hamlers, and we've been discussing longing for Osho, myself and my guest tonight, Om Rupani. I want to leave you with what we call Tantra takeout, or, you know, a to-go order, since this is a cafe. And I'm going to do that by discussing just a little bit of something that Om mentioned earlier in the show, one of Osho's meditations called gibberish meditation. We're not going to do it because it'd be really difficult, I think, to duplicate or replicate on the radio, but I am going to explain it to you and offer it to you so that you, the listeners out there, can access it and use it kind of as a fun experiment, you know, anytime you like. And I think if you do use it, I think you'll find it is completely fun, and it also clears you and allows you to be able to become present and aware, which is the whole tantric thing anyway. So let me describe it to you, and I'm gonna kind of cut it down to smaller sequences than the actual one-hour meditation that it would be. So the gibberish meditation, the Osho gibberish meditation, how you do it is you put on great music, fabulous dance music. This is, again, like dance like nobody's watching. Dance until you become the dance. So you put on great music. I would say to put on a 10-minute piece of music, something like what we listened to before, or any great drumming music for 10 minutes, something that would inspire you and move you to dance. And then for 10 minutes, for as long as the music goes, you dance with your eyes closed or dance with a blindfold. Just dance, 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 dance. Breathe and dance, dance and dance. I would recommend that you dance in one place, that you not dance all around the room, so if you're blindfolded, you don't hurt yourself. But other than that, you just dance, dance, dance for the whole 10 minutes of the song. And when it's over, when the song is over, you begin to speak gibberish. And from my performing days, when I used to be in a comedy troupe, I'll explain to you exactly what gibberish is. Gibberish is letting sounds and words come out of your mouth, and the only rule is to have no recognizable words. So if I was speaking to you in gibberish, I would all of a sudden start speaking like this. So you can tell from that there were no recognizable words, but it sounds like I might have been having a conversation in a different language. So part one is to dance with the eyes closed or blindfolded for 10 minutes. And part two, for beginners, I'm just going to give you about 5 minutes. Part two is to go 5 minutes, 5 minutes, or what seems like 5 minutes, while your eyes are still closed, while the blindfold is still on, go 5 minutes making unrecognizable sounds. It's not the same as singing or humming or just making one sound. It's actually having sentences without recognizable words. Like as if I'm having a conversation with somebody. So I would do that for 5 minutes. And after 5 minutes, I would go silent. And I would stay silent and inside for 5 minutes. And I wouldn't make a sound or say anything or make any noise. I would just be totally silent. And what I usually coach people to do when they're in the silence phase of this is to notice when all of a sudden a thought comes back in, and notice the spaces between each thought. And that really is what a meditation technique would ask you to do anyway. So that would be your Osho's gibberish, and then just see how you feel at the end. Notice how you feel. Notice what's present, and notice your awareness. So Osho's gibberish meditation comes in three steps. One step is to move your body. Get embodied. Dance. Eyes closed. The second step, when the dance is over, speak gibberish, non-recognizable words in sentences for at least 5 minutes when you're first beginning. And then when that 5 minutes is up, stay in silence for at least 5 minutes. And then just see how you feel when that time is up. And then as you get more skilled at this, I would increase these time periods of each one to about 15, 20 minutes. You could dance for 20 minutes. I mean, the ultimate is to dance for 20 minutes, speak gibberish for 20 minutes, and then be silent. Just stand there or sit there in the silence with your eyes still closed for 20 minutes. And that would be a full round. 20-20-20 would be a full round of Osho's gibberish meditation. And I myself and Om, who is my guest tonight, we've done this many times. Anything you want to say about it, about gibberish?
Well, I would just say that if you can find kind of a meditation circle going on, if you know someone's going to be doing this in a group is immensely powerful, I found. Just it gives, that creates so much energy. And there's, especially the gibberish meditation, it is, in the beginning, it is kind of silly, 20 people talking gibberish. But that silliness adds energy, and it kind of gives a permission. Something, it releases something on the inside that you can simply let things go, let things out, because everyone is doing it. So you can afford to be insane for 15 minutes because there are 20 other people who have joined you in this little insanity. And it's very powerful. It's just, it's the effects tends to be cumulative. I mean, you can certainly do it alone, but I would highly recommend that if you know people around you who are into it, do it in a group.
Yes, it's a
And
wonderful.
I've also recently found that There's music that has been designed by different people to go along with these meditations, and you can actually find this on iTunes, surprisingly.
Really?
A lot of the music that goes with many of his dynamic meditations are available, and most of the meditations are an hour long, 15 minutes or hour long. And you can find music that is specifically designed for each of the meditations, and it includes the silent spaces. Literally, so it's very helpful. So you don't have to keep time. So if
right,
there's
a 10-minute
silent period, yeah. If there's a
10-minute
silent period.
A gong goes off
period,
when you
right.
shift to the next
and you
phase.
Can come out of it. So it's wonderful. You can just put on that track and just go with it. It's great to
wonderful, know. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it's getting to be that time. We're going to have to start to sign off now. So let me just let the listeners know you've been listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And I've been on the show tonight with Om Rupani, my wonderful guest, my friend, somebody who appreciates Osho as much as I do. So, Om, I really want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Well, it's great to do this finally. I know we've been talking about this for some time because we both love him so much. So it was great to be able to do this today.
Yeah, and you were really a wonderful, wonderful guest. And I definitely will have you back, and we'll talk about some, you know, a couple of your other favorite topics,
yes.
Like One Taste. So so I want to thank all the listeners out there. I hope you enjoyed the show. And it will be rebroadcast at 3 Eastern Time this coming Sunday. All the shows are live on Wednesday nights, and then they're rebroadcast on Sunday, just in case you want to catch it again or you want to tell some of your friends or other listeners to catch it. Please do. It's 3 Eastern Time. That would make it noon Pacific Time. And thank you to my technician, Seth, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Please call in on any shows you want and chat with me. This is Laurie Handler signing off on Tantra Cafe.